Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 137. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the best tech stack for WordPress. If you're looking to build a membership, a community website on WordPress, we still think that's an excellent idea for flexibility around design, ownership, and cost. It should be a great discussion. I've got my ever knowledgeable and patient co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the new listener or viewer?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. My name is Kurt von Onnen. I own a company called Mañana No Más. We focus largely on membership and learning websites, and we're also part of the team at WP Tonic.
Yep, that's fantastic. Should be a great show. We've got a ton of knowledge to give you. But before we go into the main part of the show, I got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back. I also want to point out that we've got a great resource, a course done by Kirk himself that shows you how to build a membership website using all the best technology on WordPress from beginning to end. It will save you a ton of time and frustration. It's a really fabulous course. It's normally around $50, but you can get it for half price. Where you get it is you go over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. And I also want to point it out, after you buy the course for half price, you'll be sent an email with a coupon code that will take off 50% off our starter plan, our hosting plan with WP Tonic. It's just a great offer. So go over there, buy the course and get the coupon code and you'll get your hosting at half price. So let's go straight into it. So somebody was coming to you and they wanted to build their membership or community site on WordPress. How would you start the conversation, Kurt?
Well, usually, Jonathan, it's straight to more of a business consultative role for us when we talk to a customer. And so it's, you know, what's the use case? You know, what is your business? What do you sell? Is it hard goods? Is it digital goods? Is it, you know, and we have that full conversation so that we figure out, okay, what does the customer actually need? A lot of customers come to us with some preconceived notion. They saw a website they liked or a friend's business and they come in with some prefabricated ideas. But generally speaking, that usually doesn't fit. Once we do a deeper needs assessment, we find out that they need a CRM tool that's inside the site and not some SaaS platform away from the site, or they need a more active form tool than just collecting an email and a name. And so we really have to do the needs assessment to figure out each use case.
Yeah, and each user case. Is different, isn't it? I never met one that didn't have some uniqueness about what they were looking to do. Or
it's different because if we were talking about simply like brochure style marketing sites, and we would say, well, it's a 5-page website. It's going to be the home page, the about page, the services page, the contact page. That's one way of looking at, you know, web building. That's one way of looking at running an agency. But here at Mañana No Más, with our focus largely being on communities and e-learning, there's so many pieces of the onion to peel back and fold and see how they're actually planning to use the platform rather than just give them some cookie cutter example.
And the difference with WordPress, if you go with a SaaS, you look at the features, you compare the features with competitors, But with WordPress, you get your hosting, and then there's a lot of choice. There's a lot of choice out there, and you can. That's great, because that doesn't mean that you have to adapt too much from what you're really looking for. You've got a lot of choice, but that can also be problematic, yeah, because you can spend too much time choosing the right stack, the right tech stack. And I think this is what this episode is about, is to give advice about some solutions that we have used that we think are the best in the WordPress marketplace at the present time, and hopefully save a lot of time for the people that are thinking maybe of attempting to build their membership community in the next few months. So let's start off. I think you've got to start off, first of all, how I broke it down. I broke it down into quality hosting, website page builder, LMS, and marketing automation and forms, because I thought they were the main building blocks. Would you agree with the categories that I laid out?
They are the main building blocks. Some of the folks in our audience, I'm sure, are not, you know, necessarily going to be in the learning management system space. But for those purposes, you would just pull that out of this conversation. And if membership still was in that space, we would have other options to talk about. But yeah, this is right up the alley of most clients as a starting point for what to think about for tools.
Right. So what I've put the heading quality hosting, there is a ton of hosting out there at all sorts of different prices and different types. And we've covered all the main options out there extensively in this show. But I've just listed three, because I do think they're some of the best offerings out there. But what, in your own mind, when it comes to building out which is a membership community website, what, in your own mind, what is quality hosting?
For me, the quality hosting is more than just like a flash, like, oh, here it is, right? There's, do I have support? Is it going to be chat support? Is it going to be phone support? Is it going to be email-based support? Are they using a ticketing system? You want to sample that stuff before you sign a contract or before you, you know, start building a site on someone's platform. You want to know how you're going to be dealt with as a customer. I think that's really, really important. The other thing is that user interface kind of thing. There are some other hosts that aren't on this list, and I've used those in the past where the hosting might have been fast, it might have been reliable, had great uptime, like all the things that you think are what you really are looking for as a client. But I'll be honest, those user interfaces were kind of complicated. And for a lot of people, you know, it's what's the quickest way to get to what you want to do. And so having a host that can provide the service to a layman to say, oh, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to move this here. We're going to move that there. We're going to turn this on. We'll take care of it for you. Like, that's the kind of service I'm looking for from a client perspective. And that's why I like what you've put on the list.
Yeah, I've started off with WP Tonic. We're not the cheapest, even in the quality, but we provide this bundle of plugins, extensive bundle of a lot of the technology that we're going to be discussing in this podcast. Plus, we have our white glove onboarding and training that we offer to get the client up and running as quickly as possible, and that's all included in the price. And if you pay annually for our starter plan, it's $35 a month. I think for what we offer, if you go for the annual plan, if you go the month, it's $55. But if you go to the yearly plan, it's $35, and you get all the support and plugins in our package. I think it's very good value. What do you reckon?
Well, I think you and I have had private conversations before. I'm surprised that you haven't raised the price yet. Just to throw it out there. The the plugins that you are providing with WP Tonic that we provide as a team, I don't think there's a better offer out there. I really don't. Because if you take a look at some of the other hosting offers, you're going to, it hosts, right? So it gives you the hosting option. But if you want the LMS, there's a fee for that. If you want a CRM tool, there's a fee for that. If you want, you know, e-commerce gateways for payments, there's fees for that. And considering that all of that comes as part of the package with WP Tonic really makes things quite simple.
Yeah. On to the next one, Kinsta. Kinsta, obviously, Kinsta is one of our major sponsors, but I've known some of the owners, some of the partners in Kinsta for a number of years. I think for what they offer, they're a good partner if you're looking for a membership community WordPress hosting provider. I think you could do a lot worse than Kinsta. Of the more managed premier side of the marketplace, I think Kinsta's one of the more legit players. What do you reckon?
With the work I've done support side for other things, like when I work with Lifter LMS, Kinsta's only come up a few times where like caching has been an issue and we had to have them restrict the caching. But let's be like super clear about that. That's not a problem. Like they use some caching, the customer was able to call them, get it rectified, turn the caching off, and haven't had a problem since. That to me is a sign of a great host. There's other hosting out there where they cache the living crud out of your account and it causes display issues from the dynamic content of your website. So for community or membership or e-commerce, it can cause a lot of issues with people logging in and seeing what they're supposed to see. And with Kinsta, I've had just a few issues with the caching, but each time that our client has called and said, oh, you know, I've been advised to have you to remove the cache from these pages or whatever, it's done. It doesn't come back. It's not a reoccurring problem. And that to me is a sign that it's a really sound host and that the customer service is great.
Yeah. On to another, normally more on the higher end, but they have just recently introduced a more competitive starter level. And Conversio, really a fantastic hosting provider. Tom and his team really care. It's like I've only got good things to say about Kinsta. I've only got good things to say about Conversio. They used to be on the higher end. They used to start at 150, 300 plus, and then enter what Pagely and some of the more premier enterprise hosting providers. We do host some sites that are in that kind of enterprise level, but they've got a new price level, Express, that starts at $35. But what would you say about Conversio?
Similar stories. Tom and his team have been absolutely gracious with me. They even helped me put an article out last year on successfully scaling learning management systems. So their generosity in the space, you know, and their willingness to play with other people in the market, that, again, is a sign to me that you're dealing with people of high, strong character. So with my extensive work with learning management systems, I have only had like one instance where a Conversio site had some kind of an issue. And Tom, actually, owner of Conversio, helped the client directly and it was fixed, never to be a problem again. That to me is, I don't think you can get much better than that.
Yeah. So let's go on to the page builders. I personally feel there's only three. There are others like, but I think for the person that's trying to build their membership themselves, I think there's only three that I could really recommend, and that's Cadence WP, GeneratePress, and Elementor. So first of all, what's your reaction of the three I've got on the list? Do you follow my logic? And then what would you say, starting off with Cadence WP?
I follow the logic. And to be more clear, this conversation is based on use case. It's based on who's the audience, who's getting the website, who's getting started with their with their project. If I was talking to a fellow agency owner or developer, I'd be talking about different names. But we've done extensive work, Jonathan, with Cadence WP. And I am consistently contented. I guess that's the right phrase, right? Like, I'm consistently happy to get into the platform and make changes for people. When someone says, oh, I need to change this image, I need to change this, I need to make this bigger, I need to make this smaller, I need to, you can get in there and you can find the setting and make it happen. It kind of reminds me of when we did that interview with Matt Mullenweg, and we said, you know, the block editor doesn't work and you have to use these other tools. He said, no, you can do everything in there. We're like, no, you can't. But lately we've been finding with Cadence WP, we've been able to answer most of our clients' requests through the platform without having to do anything special.
And then GeneratePress, I've used it a little bit, not extensively, but it's highly, highly respected. And it's got one price, unlimited websites. It's $149 a year. There's no, and that's it. With Cadence, one site license. Well, I'm not sure. I think you get more websites with the higher versions, but I also think they increase the functionality as well. But Express starts at $69. Obviously, if you host with WP Tonic, you get the top version as part of our hosting package. But GeneratePress, $149, but it's, would you, I think, it's got some really strong advocates about it, hasn't it?
GeneratePress has some really great templated sections. Like, how would I say, almost like a pattern library, if I were to describe it that way, that for the beginner, not even for the beginner, for someone that wants to launch something pretty quickly and isn't looking to do a pixel by pixel build, I think GeneratePress has some really great options to, you know, get a page formatted, get some content on the page, and get you from zero to hero pretty quickly. And my understanding is it's fairly lightweight, so your page speed, performance, and things like that don't really suffer as if you were using some other page builders.
And finally, probably a slightly more controversial, but if you don't want to use Gutenberg technology with a third party page builder using that technology, and some people don't, I think Elementor still is the leader if you're the type of DIY, do it themselves individual. It's still the leader of the pack of the non-Gutenberg technology group. What's your thoughts about what I've just said?
I struggle with Elementor. I do. I used it as a crutch for a while because it simplified a lot of the things I wanted to do on the internet. But when it came time to turn sites over to customers, there was always an adoption period. If they weren't already familiar with Elementor, there were growing pains, right? Because it's not only are you teaching them how to use their website, but now you got to teach them how to use this page builder. And frequently they would make mistakes with like saving the page in the WordPress editor, and destroying the formatting, right? Because they didn't save it with Elementor. So there was those heartaches, but there was also, they went through a spell where like every major update they did was breaking websites.
Yeah.
And I understand it's gotten a lot better. So I maybe it's bad for me to bring it up, but it's like for me, consistency, reliability, things need to be rock solid for me and my clients. And so, for me, I'm more push people towards the Cadence answer because it's still working within the WordPress editor. They get a lot more features with the extra Cadence Pro, you know, features to edit things. And I don't have as high of a probability of having either an update failure or, you know, a customer brain fart failure.
Yeah, it offers Cadence and GeneratePress offer a lot of functionality. So I was going to say it offers a lot of function.
Yeah.
It can be a bit daunting, but compared to, it is on that kind of, I was going to say it's a quasi professional tool, but So is Cadence. So is Generate Press. Yeah. So I don't know what to say. I do agree. I know where you're coming from and what you're saying, but it just seems a little bit more daunting. I think Cadence and Generate Press have a more
beginner friendly.
Yes. Interface, don't
yeah,
they?
Beginner friendly. And which is ironic because out of the three, I think Elementor actually gives you the best concept of what the front end's going to look like while you're editing it.
Yes.
Because right? You're editing it and it's almost, I don't want to say what you see is what you get, but it's almost a representation of what the home or what the front end's going to look like. And then you click, you know, preview and then you see it and you go, yeah, it looks exactly like what I was just looking at. And it seems, so it's counterintuitive that what Jonathan and I are saying is like the opposite of that, because even still, when you're working in the WordPress editor in Cadence WP and you're working, you still got to like have another tab open to see the front end so you can make a change and go look at the front end and make sure it aligns where you think it's going to align and all those things. It's Elementor is more one for one with that, but there's an added level of complexity with Elementor and kind of that question mark for me on the update side of things that makes me push people more towards Cadence, especially beginners.
How would you compare all these three to something like Squarespace or Wix?
That is such a weird thing because I've been talking to a lot of local business owners lately that are either in Squarespace or Wix. And I just ask them point blank, why did you pick that? For instance, we just earned a customer from Squarespace. They've been on Squarespace for 8 months trying to finish their website. Never got the thing up. We show them how to do something on our system. Now they're in WordPress. Good to go. When I looked at the actual cost of what they were spending in Squarespace, I was kind of blown away because it's a whole lot more than I thought it was going to be. And these platforms, they do that. They get you in. They make it seem like it's going to be easy. You can build your website in 5 or 10 minutes. And then you get in there and it's never like that. The platforms are always more difficult than what they say they're going to be. They charge you for extra email addresses. They charge you for this. They charge you for it. And you have no freedom to move it. You know, at least with WordPress, if someone hosts with WP Tonic and they go, well, I don't want to stay with WP Tonic anymore. Great. Move it. Take it over. Well,
they give us 30 days notice.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm sure there's policies, but the point is you have the freedom to move it where you want to move it. Whereas if you have a Wix site, you're on Wix. The other thing that I've run into with my Wix friends is they built the website in Wix for business. And then they said, oh, well, we want to start making appointments. So then they had a plugin or a tool that was added for the appointments. And then they had a tool that was added in for reservations because it was a in-person business. So they had that tool put in place. And then what happened was everything was kind of like breaking and was tumultuous is the best word. Like for them to manage the site, they weren't aware of like how the reservations were acting with the appointments and things like that. And I don't think there's a lot of support in that space the way that, say, WP Tonic gives supports to customers.
Well, I think that kind of more local service business, they would be best to look at WordPress. And then I showed you a couple of systems that, you know, they provide their own website, but it also works with WordPress, where they send text messaging, they send,
yeah.
They have a calendar system, a scheduler, where you can send the bill out for payment. There's about half a dozen of these SaaS-based platforms that do all that for service industries, and they normally got some plug-in or some ability to integrate with the WordPress website. And I actually think they're better solutions than going to something you've just outlined.
Yeah, for me, when I talk to the people that I know here locally using Wix or Squarespace or Webflow, I'm taking another customer from a Webflow builder. They built the entire website and nothing on the website works except for the link to the agency's business. Nothing else on the website works. It's bizarre to me, but I don't know whether in that case to say building a Webflow was the issue or the person that made the website was the issue.
Yeah, right. It's very difficult to say.
So it's very hard to point a finger if you don't have all the facts.
I think Webflow's got a good reputation. They put their prices up quite considerably about a year ago.
Yeah.
I think they were extremely cheap initially because I think they were trying to get market share. They've got a lot of people using it. It's a quasi-professional platform, folks, for graphic designers and web designers and developers, really. I personally feel that WordPress offers more flexibility, but there we go. It's time for us to have our break. When we come back, we'll be looking at some other key elements that need to be in your WordPress tech stack to build your membership website or community website. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the second half, I'd like to point out another great free resource, and that is the Membership Machine Show Facebook group. If you've got any questions that come in your mind after listening or watching us, and you're looking for a great little community, and it's totally free, why don't you look at joining the Membership Machine Show's Facebook group? Go over to Facebook, put it into search, it'll come up, and you can join for free. We love you. We love to see you over there. On we go. So, learning management system, membership. I think membership can be a lot of things, but if you're in the e-learning space and you're really going to have a go at building a real business, I think there's no real reason why you shouldn't look at using a learning management system, because I think it's going to cover all your bases. And there's three main players still. There's a couple others that have just recently been launched and that. But I still think there's main three players. And the number one is Lifter LMS. And because you can get started with subscriptions, paying members for $149, and you can be off to the races. And the free level's totally usable with this added add-on. Or you can buy some of the other packages, or you can buy the Infinity package. You're covered on all levels, really. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Yeah, it's so weird because, you know, I actually have a talk that I do on why every business needs an LMS.
Oh.
And people think that, you know, maybe I'm being a little excessive on it, but if you're a business that sells any consumer product whatsoever, you've got three courses you need right out of the chute. You know, you need the one that teaches people in the field how to sell your product. Then you need the one that teaches consumers how to use the product. And then you need the internal training for people in the field to know how to fix it when it breaks. Because if you have any consumer products, you have to warranty whatever you sell. So to me, anyone that sells a consumer product instantly, automatically needs an LMS. And most of them don't have it. I've seen them leverage things like we've got a series of videos on YouTube, or we've got this shared folder we share with our franchises in the Google Drive, or, and folks, that is like, to me, those are like very unprofessional band-aids. An LMS gives you the ability to put users in your system, track the user's activity, see what they're doing, see what courses they're taking, look at their completion levels. And then let's just be honest. I mean, it's kind of fun, right? You can give them automate certificates. You can automate different engagements or activities for them. And an LMS is absolutely the way to go. And so I'm a real big proponent in the e-learning space. Sometimes I think maybe I go a little overboard, but I really do see that there's a reason for it. And when you look at Lifter LMS, Lifter LMS is one of those rare LMSs that gives you the membership management and the course management all bundled into one thing. So you're not having to kind of like Frankenstein things together to make things work. It comes out of the box ready to go. You put a payment gateway in and you can sell courses right out of the chute. And the free program you could use for the internal training example I just gave, for like if you're a distributorship selling consumer products, you can get Lifter LMS for free and offer internal training and still use the course restriction features of the membership restriction to limit who has access to what knowledge bases.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Now, the next two are fantastic.
Yeah.
The problem is the next two, if you're going to sell subscriptions, you really need a membership plugin. And or WooCommerce. And it's just another layer of complexity. It's just another part of the conversation you got to have with people, which you don't have to have with Lifter LMS, because you just buy the Stripe add-on and they've got their own membership engine inbuilt in it, subscription engine. But with LearnDash or with Tutor LMS, they're both very popular. Obviously, LearnDash has been around a lot longer and has strong affiliate or relationship with the higher education, the corporate training world, which probably Tutor LMS doesn't have. But both, you've got to buy a membership plugin, haven't you? So they're both very similar in some elements to Lifter LMS, but you've got this extra complexity, really, haven't you? How would you respond to what I've just said?
Yeah, it's interesting because, and you and I have had this conversation before, where it seems like offshore Tutor LMS maybe gets some extra traction. LearnDash has been around longer than Lifter LMS, and so it has the advantage of, you know, having a little longer tooth in the game. But I think feature to feature, Lifter is still the winner for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. On to next really important, and until about, time flies, but until around 2020, it was an area that was really lacking in WordPress. And I think this lack was one of the reasons that helped ConvertKit, renamed Kit, because I know a lot of creators that were utilizing WordPress were very frustrated with the SaaS solutions that were out there, like HubSpot, Drip, ActiveCampaign. They were a bit too powerful, too corporate, and weren't very user-friendly for the average creator, entrepreneur. And ConvertKit really came along and had really strong integration with WordPress through their plugin. It wasn't native, but that's totally changed, because there's about four or five now really very good native CRM marketing automation, email automation plugins. And the two that I like the most is Fluent CRM and WP Funnels with MailMint. I personally think they're the two leaders. So what would you say about what I've said and your own thoughts, Kurt?
This is one of those ones where it really comes down to use case. I think if you are a more traditional, you know, CRM type user, if you're used to Salesforce or any of those other names that you
mentioned. HubSpot.
Yeah, HubSpot, any of those, then you're probably going to go for the Fluent CRM example. You know, basically, can you build, you know, can you build a lead magnet? Can they get added to the mail list? Can you have a sales funnel built in the back? Yes, you can do all those things, but it's a much more like a CRM than WP Funnels and MailMint. And the reason I say that, don't beat the messenger up yet. WP Funnels has like this crazy engaging, intuitive landing page, like funnel builder in it. And it's much more graphic and I don't want to say easy to use, because it took a little adjusting for me. But it's a whole other element far and above what I think Fluent brings to the table in that space. And so when you're talking to, when I'm talking to a client, part of that needs assessment is, hey, we've got a couple of CRM options. Are you looking to build, you know, really active off of a template, you know, sales funnels and lead magnets? Do you want, are you looking to go that direction, or are you looking to be more traditional and, you know, build things on your own? And then, and I think that's kind of the big difference between the two. The WP funnels and Mailmint together are really powerful. It sounds like a contradiction because we just in the last segment said, you know, adding plugins or adding secondary features to a plugin to get it to work. But WP Funnels does all the landing page stuff and Mailmint does the outbound communication. And together, they work really well.
Yeah, they got well sorted. And you get either Fluent CRM or WP Funnels or Mailmint as part of your WP Tonic hosting package. I kind of see Fluent CRM as the WordPress alternative to ActiveCampaign and to some level to HubSpot. In the world of the smaller organization, the 20, 50, 100 person, HubSpot really has a dominance, or its ActiveCampaign. It puzzles me why they've got that. But it's through marketing. They were extremely effective on their marketing. Now, when it comes to the individual entrepreneur, it's, like I say, ConvertKit. And there's about three or four other platforms, but they're more email-dominated. Well, ConvertKit was around conversion, ConvertKit, and with a strong email. I think WP Funnels does a good job, but it's not quite as intuitive. It's more intuitive than Fluent CRM. So I agree with you, but I don't think it's quite there. But I might be wrong. On we go. Forms. I'm wrong about a lot of things, but there we go. Forms. It's really basic, but I there's a lot of form builders out there, and you could say with modern page builder that you don't need a forms, you know, Cadence, WP, GeneratePress, Elementor, they're all got form builders. But I always think either you've got to add add-ons or you do hit a bit of a wall. There is something that you want doing. I think Fluent Forms, they've got a really great free version, and then, but I think it's well worth paying $79 a year for the one site license for the commercial, and for what it does, it's really great. Gravity Forms, I think if you're looking for something very custom, it's still worth looking at, and that starts at $59. You've got to be a little bit tricky because some of the add-ons aren't available in the basic plan. So you really got to really see what's offered on each level. And then you got Ninja Forms, a very popular free version. Their next level is $99. So it's a bit more steeper than Fluent. But there's so many out there. But to my mind, I was thinking, these are the three clear leaders. What do you reckon?
We use Fluent a lot, and Fluent fits so many use cases just snugly and perfectly. Like, it just works. It's easy to build the form. It's easy to take care of your notifications, the integration with the CRM. Like, I hate to say it's like a name brand thing for me, but I almost think of Fluent as being a suite because there's other tools, depending on the depth of the website we're building, that we'll employ from Fluent. So I might have four or five different Fluent tools in a website. So it just makes sense. If I'm going to have four other Fluent tools in the site, I'll just use Fluent Form. The way that I'm going to contradict myself is, for me, I've come to realize that Gravity is like the gorilla in the space. It has all kinds of add-ons or extensions that you can do additional things with Gravity Forms. There's like a whole subculture of people in WordPress that build these things like Gravity Forms, Gravity View, Gravity This. They have an integration with like Square, so they can help people do on-site brick and mortar type transactions using the website. There's just a lot of cool things that Gravity can do. And so if I'm talking to a client that is looking to do more than the standard with a form, then I'm probably going to lead towards Gravity. Ninja Forms, I've got great experience with Ninja through Lifter. It's Ninja Forms is in all of the demo sites that Lifter LMS puts out, right? So I see it all the time as the free form plugin. But I really don't have any experience at the level or seeing how deep it goes.
My only active experience is with Fluent Forms and Gravity. I really haven't touched the other form builders for a long, long time. They're the two that I really use on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that you did defer back to the page builders and their form tools. And just as a point, I'll typically add the form tool to the website, and then I'll replace whatever the generated web tool is, that the web form tool that is, I'll replace that with a Fluent Form in there. Like, so the contact page is going to be pre-populated with a generic form in there. I'm going to take that out. I'm going to put the Fluent Form in. A lot of people, when they're building sites, especially when they're beginners, they go, oh, well, that works. I don't need to replace it. But then what happens is when you start getting submissions, or when you start trying to figure out like where your data is going and stuff like that, it's so much easier to set it up correctly in the beginning than it is to try and fix it later. So if you know you're going to use a real bespoke web form tool, it's best to use it throughout the whole site and know that all of the submissions are going to go to one space where you can get what you need to get.
Now, to just wrap up, are there any plugins, anything that we haven't discussed that you think should really be part of a tech stack if you're trying to build a membership community? Now, I haven't covered the community side, which we love Fluent Community as well, or Buddy Boss is great, but I think for about 80% of what people are looking for, I think Fluent Community can do the job. But if you want in everything, Buddy Boss has been around a lot more, but he is a beast. But are there any other areas? I suppose I haven't covered calendar or bookings, so I haven't covered that area, but we've covered that extensively in other shows, haven't we?
Yeah, there's always going to be something extra, right? Whether it's booking, SEO, the rollback plugin, security, backup plugins, caching plugins. I mean, all these things come up, and as you were introducing this episode, Jonathan, I really started to think, having all the choices out there for all these different things we're talking about, it's great to have choice, but I think the value of dealing with a professional in the space is that as a professional gets more and more skin in the game, is in it longer, their skill set is actually knowing what to say no to. Right. It's actually being able to say, because a customer is going to say, oh, well, what about this tool? What about that tool? What about the other tool? And it's like, no, like it just came out. It doesn't have enough active installs. It hasn't been updated in the last 3 months. I mean, there's all of these things that you look at in the repository that kind of give you, that breadcrumb to let you know, okay, this is a good decision or a bad decision. And a lot of people new to the space aren't aware of how to make those decisions well. I think having a solid tech stack and having, 10, 12 tools that you really lean on really gives you stability in the space.
And I think when you're starting out, you can put too many plugins on the site. I think if you've got some decent hosting and it's up for the job, and I think apart from maybe some minor Pacific like booking, I think people tend to overload the website with a load of plugins and you just don't need it. I think I think with a small stack of Premier plugins that we've covered, and maybe one or two, I think you should be covered, shouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's too many times I've been called in to take a look at a website where somebody's already tried three or four different LMS plugins or already tried five or six different form tools, and they install and they uninstall and and you look at the plugin list, you're like, what's going on in here? That's a sign to me that things have gotten into a bad space and that we need to do a deeper cleanup on things through the data and stuff like that. It creates too much luggage to have all that junk in there floating around.
I think most we offer it if we're asked. We provide a staging site. I think you want to use it as your playground to bundle your stuff on and try it out. It won't be optimized like the production site, the live site, but you can try some things out. I think that's better than install, when you're in pre-building, keep installing stuff and taking it out because it can get messy, can't it? So, Kurt, what's the best place for people to find out more about you and your thoughts and your knowledge, Kurt?
There's a lot of content and I'm easy to find on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Arnim on LinkedIn. So that's a great, great place to go. And then for business, we are called Mañana No Más, and we're Mañana No Más on X, Facebook, and obviously mananomas.com.
That's fantastic. And if you want to support the show, if you're getting value from this show, the best way you can do that, folks, is if you're listening on your iPhone or Android and you're utilizing Spotify or iTunes, it's on those apps, it's really easy to leave a review. They both apps make it dead easy. Just scroll down and it pops up. Do you want to leave a review? And leaving that review, really then that both apps will show the podcast to newer people so they can start listening, which really does help me and Kirk. So if you could do that and leave us a review, both me and Kirk would be really very appreciative. We will be back next week with more knowledge to help you be successful with your membership or community-focused website in 2025. We will be back soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.